A small Japanese spacecraft is about to go to the moon. It will take 3 months to get there, and once there, it will be the first business transaction ever to take place off Earth, an entirely new era of space use. The company is called iSpace. It will be collecting regolith, the grey sandy moon dust which covers the surface of the satellite, and then sells it to NASA. Franz von der Dunk is a leading authority on space law and has advised numerous governments and space agencies worldwide. Great to have you on the programme, Franz. Thanks for being there. Why would a company go and collect moon dust and sell it to NASA?
Well, first of all, you might think it's about the money, but this is just about $5,000 is what I understood, so that's not a great deal. So it's basically a little bit to test the waters. I mean, NASA can obviously use moon dust for certain scientific purposes, although they have their own collection as well. So it's really trying out the legal situation, because there's a little bit of uncertainty there. Both Japan and the United States have laws in place which basically allow private sector actors, companies, to harvest lunar resources. But there's a lot of international political, in particular political opposition against that. And so they are testing to what extent this may give rise to a negative reaction of people who say, you can't do that. The moon belongs to everyone, and so does the moon dust.
I can see the lawyers licking their lips already at the situation where a Japanese company is selling moon dust to NASA. Why is it so? Well, what is regolith? Why is it needed? And what is the complaint that is raised by various countries about selling it?
Well, regolith is, as you basically explained, sort of the thin top layer on the moon. What it is needed for, I have to defer to real scientists. Of course, I'm a law professor, so that doesn't mean that I'm a scientist, who generally claim that it could be used for filtering out things like helium-3, which might potentially be used as fuel for some kind of nuclear operation and generating energy. And there's some who do agree to that and think that it's a great perspective for the future, and others say it's not so easy, it's not commercially, economically sustainable. Mm-hmm. So it might be an idea to test that. And why it is legally a bit of a problem, that basically goes back to the fact that the only treaty which says something about that, the Outer Space Treaty, goes back to 1967, and nobody at that time ever thought about commercial exploitation of the lunar resources, whether it's regolith or platinum or water or whatever we can find there. So the only rule which is there is that the moon belongs to all states together, to humankind together. No single state can carve out any part of the moon and treat it as their own national territory. But it doesn't say anything about what that means for whatever may be found of value in the soil, or on the soil if you take the regolith in addition. So there is a discussion where people and states on the one hand say, well, because the moon belongs to everyone, everything in the moon also belongs to everyone. And there is an opposite position, which is under amongst others taken by Japan and the United States, which say no, it's like the high seas, the area belongs to no one, but you can freely take out valuable resources and make money with them.
I see that Japan actually passed a law granting Japanese companies permission to prospect for extract. So these are individual governments giving their own private businesses the right to go and mine the moon. And in that battle then, Franz, between what might be described as the utopian view and the sort of the capitalist view of the moon, which do you think is going to win?
I think it's the capitalist view, because the U.S. started in 2015 with the first act doing this. Then we've had not only Japan, but meanwhile also Luxembourg and United Arab Emirates doing the same thing. And whereas you can probably say from Japan and certainly United States, well, it's obvious that it's in their own interest to allow these things to happen. With Luxembourg and the UAE being much smaller countries, it's not that easy. So it becomes more of a broader theoretical analysis. In addition, as you probably know, the US has been very much in favor of developing this Artemis program. And there have been 21 other countries signing up to the Artemis project, which also basically recognizes this idea. So I see general movement in that direction, but we're not there yet.
Very interesting. Franz, we've got to leave it there. Thank you. Franz von der Dunk, leading authority on space law.